Hey, Serial Progress Seekers, do you have an idea for a podcast but no idea how or where to start? What if I told you that you could create your own high-quality audio and video podcast for under $150? The Serial Progress Seeker podcast team has put together a comprehensive guide that includes a breakdown and links to all the audio equipment, video equipment, and software you need to get your podcast started immediately. And to say thank you for supporting the Serial Progress Seeker podcast, we're offering this guide to you for free. To get your free podcast production guide, simply visit serialprogressseeker.com/startmypodcast today.
This episode of the Serial Progress Seeker podcast is brought to you by Carbon Copy. Is it taking way too long to get the traction you want on your social media platforms? Listen, you're not alone. This is a huge roadblock for businesses trying to grow all over the world, and you need social media to help you grow. That's why I want to introduce you to Carbon Copy, our secret to getting explosive growth and attracting influencer-level engagement to your social media platforms. Carbon Copy is a collection of professionally designed content templates that'll position your brand for success and put a global audience within your reach. All you got to do is select a template, you make a few changes to fit your brand, and you've got a professionally designed social post ready to go. To leverage our world-class design team so that your brand looks like our favorite social media influencers, go to serialprogressseeker.com/carboncopy right now and follow the prompts. Are you feeling stuck? What's up, guys? Marshall here, and trust me when I tell you, I've been there. It can be really disheartening to have to go to a job every day, put in your full day of work, and still have enough time left in the day to get fulfillment that you really want from life. Time with your friends, your family, the freedom to go places and have fun. It sucks to feel stuck, but look at me, or, you know, rather listen to me, a guy who podcasts for a living. There's a way for you to get out, a way for you to be fulfilled. There's even a way for you to host and produce your own podcast and build a badass life for yourself. Listen to what we have to share with you today. That is your way. Welcome to episode 101 of the Serial Progress Seeker podcast. Let's go.
Welcome to the Serial Progress Seeker podcast, your ultimate destination for unlocking the secrets to building a successful podcast. Each week, we gather a community of experienced podcasters, industry experts, and trailblazers to discuss everything from growing your listener base to generating revenue to the latest industry trends, plus a whole lot more. Okay, Serial Progress Seekers, let's get started with the show.
All right, Tab, I'm excited for today's discussion. This is going to be a really good conversation because this one feels really personal and hits really hard at home because this is something we've lived. We're talking specifically about how someone who's sitting in a place that we've sat in before, they're sitting there at a cubicle. They're sitting at their desk in their office. They're, you know, maybe they're taking a drive to and from their job and they're thinking, man, how do I get out of this? How do I unstick myself? How do I break away from this? You know, maybe I've got this great idea for a business or a new idea that I'd like to build on for an app or, you know, whatever it is. I've got all these things running through my head and I know that I could break away and do this myself, but I'm scared and I don't know how. I don't know exactly what lies before me and the things that need to happen to make those things take place. And you and I have both lived that. We've both done that. We both sat in that chair. Yeah, we've had that same discussion, that same internal struggle about wanting to be our own boss and you know, and really get to a place of freedom, right? Like we sit and we talk about all the time about how we're, you know, kind of in a position to where in fact, right now, as we're recording this, like an hour ago, I took a break and I went and mowed my yard. Like these are the kinds of things that we can do as serial progress seekers because we built this life for ourselves. And but we didn't always start here. And I think that's what we want to talk about today and really get into the action that someone might have to take to be able to get to where we are. And of course, we're not doing everything right. We're not making millions and millions of dollars, but we have freedom. And that is absolutely invaluable. And I think it's going to be a really fun discussion. So let's jump right in. And I want to ask you about, because there's some stuff about your past that led you here that I think would be interesting to hear about, because I don't know a lot about some of it. But you and I talk about our path to freedom. You came from a corporate setting. You sat at a desk. You had this job and you knew that you was going to get away from it. So what was that job? What was the job you were that you were working at that point?
So the last corporate job that I've ever had was with Wells Fargo Financial. So I was doing home loans, I was doing auto loans, personal loans, that kind of thing. That was the very last one, thank goodness. And okay, you, what and was your last one?
Well, mine, so was, I say my last one because it's been a little bit of a transition, but my main segue into corporate world and the 9-to-5 job, I was doing casino marketing. I did it for about 8 years. I did all kinds of kind of weird things within that job, but I was handling finances. I was, booking entertainment. I was doing a wide variety of things, but it was in a very, very corporate setting. I worked for a multi-billion-dollar privately held family owned company, but a very large company and a very widespread company. So, it was while my specific job sometimes felt, entrepreneurial, it wasn't. We were very much, we had a very much a big brother scenario looking over us, and I was, at that point I walked into that job, and I guess if I do the math, I was mid-20s, maybe late 20s. I might have been about, probably about 26, 27 years old when I stepped into that job. And, I was, kind of making my way. And, we've talked about this before on other podcasts, like the world we come from, like we thought that was the track we were supposed to be on, right? Like yep. that was what
That's
we were
what
supposed
you're always
to do.
Taught.
Is that,
yeah.
Is that the way it was for you?
Yeah. You go to college, you get a job, you just keep going, you get married, you have kids. That's just the path you take. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you had that corporate gig, were you already married? Were you single? I was
24, 25 ish. I had actually just had my first son. So I was actually a single mom at that time, working this job, but I was working my way up the ladder. I was about to be, I can't even remember the terminology for things like the assistant, whatever to this. And I was moving my way up. So it was one of those, going to climb the ladder and make more money, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I was kind of the same deal. I was a single guy, and in the corporate world, when you're single, they will ride you for that. They will, squeeze every bit of that out of you that you can, because they realize that you don't have some of those ties that would make you need to, leave the job by 5 o'clock and stay later and stuff like that. So it's funny. It's funny our different paths were very similar in that. In that we were, kind of in that 9-to-5 grind, that corporate grind. And, obviously somewhere along the way, each of us determined that there was a change in order. We're going to get into those details, and we had to be able to facilitate and process that. We had to, we had to develop and follow a little bit of a system. Right. And, we've spoke about off air a few times leading up to today's conversation about that system. And we realized that we kind of had a similar plan as we were going through this and making these huge career changes. So what we've done today for our listeners, and we want to share this. So if you're someone who's sitting at home right now and you're thinking, okay, these people, they're on my level, they understand where I was, where I am, because they've been there before. We absolutely have been. And we literally developed and followed this system that we're about to go through to be able to break free and to be able to, get away and do our own thing. And like I said, I keep touching on that word freedom, because man, that's the biggest piece of the things that we get to do and that we do all the time, is the fact that we do have such an element of freedom. And what we've done for our process is we've actually developed an acronym. We love acronyms around here. Everybody knows
we
that.
We do it's love a, acronyms. Yes,
man. It's a good deal. It's so good because it just helps you remember things. Right. And, so, if you're, like I said, if you're someone out there trying to think about, okay, what are the ways I can escape the 9-to-5 and build my own path to freedom? There is a system that we've developed. It's called the REAR process, the REAR method. And it's really, really simple at its surface. But when you dig deep underneath and realize the elements of each one of these pieces, I think you're really going to understand kind of why it makes a lot of sense for someone who's considering making a move. So that REAR process, like I said, it's an acronym. We do a lot of acronyms around here, but it stands for recognize, evaluate, act and relish. So quickly, obviously, recognizing, hey, you know, here I am sitting here in a 9-to-5 job. I got to get the hell out. Evaluate. Okay, what are the things I have to set in place? What are the things that I have to do? What's the money behind it? You know, what are all the elements that I got to think about to be able to begin to make that change? And then A is for act. Act is when you pull the trigger, right? Is when you actually push the button and say, okay, I'm doing this. I'm making the jump. And then R, finally, when you get on the back end of it, it's all about relishing what you've done. So I think that's what I'd love for us to kind of go through that today, because like I said, it's something that you and I have both kind of spent some time on talking about this, because we realized that we kind of had a similar process going through this. So let's talk about that first one. When we talk about recognizing, and we're talking about escaping the 9-to-5, breaking away, being your own boss, you talked about your corporate career. What was it? What was going on in your corporate career that made you realize that you needed a change?
So the job that I had at Wells Fargo Financial was, like I said, doing home loans, auto loans, personal loans, that kind of thing. So a lot of my day was spent picking up a phone, calling people all day long. It was just sales calls. The minute I got to work at 8:15, we would watch the clock and it was like, okay, go start making phone calls. And this is what I was doing all day long. And I absolutely hated it. I have a degree in advertising. I'm a creative individual. But I liked working for the boss that I had at that moment, you know, when I had my son, and he was very encouraging and was trying to teach me how to go up the ladder. And it was good in the beginning. And then he was so good that he got promoted and moved to a different district. And we got a new boss that came on.
Okay.
And he, without saying all the specifics, was the epitome of a toxic boss. I'm talking things were said that should never have entered my ears. Things were thrown. It was not healthy at all. Not healthy. And I won't ever forget, I was engaged to my husband at that time. And every day for like a week, I cried my entire drive into work because I didn't want to go, because I didn't want to be around that person. Everything that I liked about the job was gone. It was that week of driving when I was crying. I was like, this is stupid. Why am I doing this? Like, I needed a job one, because again, I was a single mom. I had insurance to take care of my son, but like, there was more to life than just that money and that insurance. Like, it just, that week of crying was my definite moment of, I can't do this anymore.
Gosh. And we've all been there. I mean, I can remember specific moments for me too, where I was just like, that feeling that you get, every person that's listening to this knows the exact feeling I'm talking about. When you wake up in the morning and then it hits you, oh, I've got to go to work. I've got to go to work.
Straight up
and
dread.
It's like, and it's just, oh, like, because you were all naturally programmed, right, to wake up kind of excited. Like, it's a new day. Here we go. We're going to do this. And then it hits and you're like, oh, shit. I got to go, you know, deal with this boss who is toxic. I got to go sit at this cubicle from literally 9 o'clock in the morning to 5 p.m. and never move. Like, I mean, these things just run through your head. And God, that's so perfect. Mine was very similar. It was a similar deal. So we had started at the casino. We kind of were the underdog for a long time, you know. We were in a market that was heavy penetrated by very strong brands, and we were not as strong a brand. So we really had to fight, and it almost felt like a kind of like a grassroots effort from the very beginning, which, as you can imagine, it felt like a startup. Like, you're all working together, trying to pull together to build this thing. And then we did it and did really well and started making a lot of money and became the apple of the eye from the corporate perspective, and everything changed. All of a sudden, you're under the microscope. They're looking at every single thing you're doing, because it's not all from a bad perspective from the corporate piece. Like, obviously, they're doing it because they want to replicate that at their other places.
Exactly.
Right? They want to make that happen again. Whatever the secret magic was that you had, they want to make it happen again. But from our perspective, it was like, man, we're losing the creativity. We're losing the underdog nature. All of a sudden now we're Goliath instead of David. And that's really what started to turn the tide. And then I had a boss change, kind of like you did. We had a boss who was our Rocky Balboa, and he walked out the door, and here comes the genetic robot that's going to kind of take over type thing. And it's weird, but it's really what it felt like. I feel like I lived one of the stereotypical corporate lives. I really did, because then it just kind of took all the fun away. It took the fun and the fight away. But then also, that's from a professional standpoint. But I also had a personal thing going on. I met a young lady at that time, and so my change and my shift in my career and my thought process came from a professional element, but it also came from a personal element. This young lady ended up becoming my wife. And so it was all kind of like this perfect storm. And I think a lot of people out there sitting and listening to this are probably dealing with that. They've either got this, you know, professional scenario that they're set up with, and they're going, man, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I wanted to do. This is, you know, maybe I did go to school for this, but it wasn't to do this particular thing. It wasn't to sit in this cubicle. It wasn't to, you know, deal with this boss who I can't stand. Or maybe they even have a personal thing tugging at them. And I had a little bit of both. So do you remember, obviously there was your week. That was the week you had that was like, this is time. This is the moment that you got to change, right? And that's, for me, I didn't have that specific moment, but I can remember a collection of them. And I think that's another thing that's important for someone who's thinking about making a change like this is to be able to really recognize those and understand what they are, what they mean to you. For you, it was pretty blatant. I mean, you're driving to work every single week and you're crying. There it is. Okay, that's, you're getting beat over the head with, okay, you got to make a change. For me, you know, things were still going well. I was still making good money. And, you know, in general, things were going okay. And I was in general happy. I was starting to get more personally happy. So that was good. But man, there was a piece of fulfillment that just was not happening. And it's just kind of weird. So think back to that time. Put yourself back in that scenario. What are some of the things you were feeling at that time that someone might be able to kind of resonate with and understand? Obviously, I'm sure you were upset and having to deal with this boss,
just but defeat. You know, just, is this all that life has for me? Like, obviously my personal life was going great. I had, you know, a fiance, I had a kid, like I was happy personally, but work-wise, just absolutely defeated and just the lowest, honestly, the lowest that I have ever been in my entire life. And it was miserable, straight up, just miserable, just absolutely
just miserable. Yeah. And I'm very similar. There was a defeated element, especially when I think about the times where it felt like we were getting a little, you know, it's like we were getting handcuffs put on us at a certain point where we used to be able to fly free and now we're kind of getting tied down a little bit. And that was frustrating. I can remember frustration just being a very, very big part of every day. And I did get to that point, like we were talking about, where I was waking up and I was just not happy to go to work. You know, like I was looking forward to the minute I could get off. You know, 5 o'clock came and I was as quick as I could bolting for the door when I used to like what I was doing. And I'd stay till, you know, 7, 8 o'clock because I was really into what I had going on. And it was like draining some of that passion. You know, that's what I feel like. And that's, it sucks. It's a terrible feeling. And I think that's why we realize that it's so important for us to think back on this time, because there was a moment where we had to recognize, hey, we gotta make something happen here. And we touch on this a lot, and we touched on it already, but we come from a generation, and I'll tell you, I come from a family. I think you probably do too, where I think I was just taught to kind of suck it up. You know, like,
Oh yeah.
I mean, I had a great job that was paying my bills and I was doing really well. And I was advancing up the ladder. Like I was making my way up. I was doing all the right things by my quote unquote standards that had been set for me. And at the end of the day, I hated it, you know? And it's just like, so sometimes I think you gotta, the part of recognition, the part of recognizing this step becomes really important, because sometimes it's, you got to realize, hey, so you're living up to a standard that you didn't set.
Yeah.
And you had a little bit of that going on too, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Well, I grew up in family business. So like you just kept going no matter what was going on, you just keep pushing forward. So, but it felt odd because I was working for somebody else. Like, this should be a choice. I should be able to do something else. I shouldn't be just this and done, you know?
Uh-huh.
And even you know, I live in a somewhat small town. There's probably 20,000 people in the town that I live in. So not a huge amount of opportunities, but there were still opportunities. So,
sure.
But it just felt, you start to feel trapped, you know, mm-hmm. And that's a horrible feeling.
It's an awful feeling. And that's, you know, that's why we start with recognize. You have to put a name to those feelings, and you really have to label those so you can realize, okay, here's the spot I'm in. I got to start making a plan to get out of here. And that's where we move into our second step of our rear method. So we recognize now it's time to evaluate. Now we start to put pen to paper, right?
Planning. So think yes.
about, yeah, it's planning. That's exactly right. So think back to that time as you started to think about, okay, I got to make this move. Do you remember some of the, I don't know, metrics that you use, whether it was professionally or personally, that you started to determine, okay, this is what I got to do. You know, was it, I need to find something that makes me this much money? Was it this something that gives me a certain time frame that I work in? Like what kind of some of the things that you really wanted to make sure happened in your next gig?
There were a few things. One of them being that I wanted to do something creative, like picking up the phone and making the same phone call over and over and over again, just felt like beating my head against a wall every day. So I needed something that was going to give me a little bit of a creative outlet, just because it's what I'd went to school for. It's what I enjoyed. So that was a part of it, just to fill me personally, but as far as like the money went, I was so young. I was 25. Like I didn't know. I was like, okay, I make this much money. I need to kind of be around that to be able to survive, you know? So I didn't have, in that moment, I didn't have this aspiration. Like I want to go make more money. I was like, no, if I can survive here, I just need to survive there. You know what I mean? Like just the money wise. Yeah. But the biggest thing for me was insurance, because it wasn't just me. If it was just me, no big deal. But sure. I had a young son. I mean, he was less than 6 months old. I mean, he was young. And if anybody's got kids, they're expensive. They're going to doctor visits left and right. They're always getting sick. There's always something. You're in doctors left and right. So insurance was a big deal for me. And having that corporate job and having that insurance was one of those things that I'm like, it was one of the reasons I felt like I couldn't leave, because I needed to be able to take care of him in that aspect. And what I was making at that time was little bitty. It wasn't enough to even pay, you know, to go buy my own insurance at that moment. So what about you?
I didn't even think about that. You're so right though. Like insurance is such a big key, and it's something as people who are thinking about being entrepreneurs, you absolutely have to consider that. Like, I mean, I same deal. I was in a spot where insurance was really good. My benefits in general were really good. And I was considering striking out on my own. Well, that stuff in a lot of situations wipes away when you step out on your own. So how do you kind of counteract that? And how do you weigh and balance that is such an interesting thing. Yeah. For me, I started to realize this real tugging for the need for fulfillment. I was, I spent 8 years in a place where I felt like I was, contributing to the lesserment of people. Not that I don't judge on people who come into a casino and gamble. I love to go in a casino and gamble. I do enjoy that. That's something I enjoy doing with my time. But for me as a marketing professional, marketing to someone who may or may not have the money to pay their insurance that month, but are going to come and bring that in and put it into a penny slot machine, I started to really lose value in what I was doing. So
there was an ethical
went on,
aspect there. Got it.
Yeah. And I never even realized it until I got way past it. And then I went, oh man, that's what I was searching for. And I didn't even realize it. But I started to really feel the need to try to figure out how I could get into a professional scenario where I felt like I was making a very, very positive difference. And that's where I transitioned into a fantastic nonprofit organization for a while. And then that led me to Serial Progress Seeker. So I got there, I got in that transition, but those were the metrics that I was using. I was like, man, I got to figure out how do I go home every day and feel good about myself at the end of the day? That was kind of some of the biggest deals. So what did the things that you wanted out of a career change at all as you switched from more of that corporate gig and made a transition into your next phase? Like, did you figure out?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Because when I went and joined the corporate side, the whole reason I joined Wells Fargo Financial is because it was in my hometown. I had originally lived in another state. I just wanted to be home. And it was just one of those opportunities. And so it didn't fulfill any of my needs creatively, you know what I mean, as far as what I wanted to do. So going into the new one, for sure. I mean, I was writing advertising and working with clients and working in a marketing firm. So it went from, you know, robo-dialing before there was robo-dialers, it was me, into the creative field. So for sure, it completely changed from one aspect to the next. So yeah.
Yeah. And I touch on that a little bit more, because in a minute ago, you said something about that made me strike up this thought in my head too. And I think we should absolutely talk about the money aspect of this, because it does make a difference. I can remember being in this spot and going, okay, I've risen, quote unquote, risen to this level. It sounds like vomit coming out of my mouth right now when I say it, but when I've risen to this spot on the corporate ladder, so stupid, but I felt that way. I did. I was like programmed to feel that way. And I rose to this spot in a financial setting too. And I can remember specific discussions internally being like, you know what? The money is the money. And not everyone, maybe I was in a luckier scenario than someone who might be listening to this podcast, but I was just in a spot where I was just like, you know, yes, there's a level of money I want to make when I make the transition, but if it doesn't quite get there, I'll still take the fulfillment. I'll still take the feeling good about myself and stuff like that, a little bit about money above money. So I know we don't like to talk about money, but it is an aspect of this. So how did that factor in for you as far as making the transition? I know you were focused on things like insurance and stuff. What'd you think?
Yeah. So I was so dumb back then, 25, very young. Let me just state that. But I remember I was like, oh, well, I make this much at that place. So if you just pay me that, it'd be great. Well, I didn't take into factor taxes and everything else that gets taken out. So when I actually did make that jump and I told him this is the amount I need to make every week, it wasn't that amount. It was actually lower than that because of taxes. And I was like, oh, well, you didn't tell him the before tax version. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I really screwed the pooch there. But when it comes to the insurance stuff, like when I made the switch, my husband and I had just gotten married, or I had made the switch like a month or two before we got married. So he was in a corporate job. So the insurance side was taken care of because we got married. My son and I got added to his insurance. And so that was all great. As far as money goes, it sucked in the beginning. I mean, I was a broke. But some of the things that factored into that, you know, I could go home and eat lunch if I wanted to. So I wasn't having to go out and eat every single day. Like, I could save money in that aspect versus, you know, I didn't have to wear a certain, you know, outfit. I didn't have to look I didn't have to look like a loan officer. Like, I was working in a creative field. I could wear blue jeans and t-shirts and tennis shoes every day. So I was saving money on clothing and things like that. So There were gives and takes. Is that, if that makes any sense, as far as but it eventually changed. I mean, obviously, and when I made that switch, I went to work for a agency that was just starting out. Like, I was employee three, Now this agency is now huge. They're now in Arizona and they've worked with brands all across the world. But in the beginning, I was employee three. So there wasn't a whole lot of money to go around, but as that business grew, so did my salary. So it made it all worth it in the end, to sacrifice a little bit money-wise a little bit, but my happiness was ginormous and the money followed eventually. So, well,
and I think that's important for people to realize, like, it's not, what we're selling, quote unquote, what we're preaching all the time is not always the most lucrative life. It doesn't have to be a multi-billion dollar world that you're going to move into. Yeah, there's a lot of money to be made, and we're lucky enough to be a part of a team that's doing it. But that isn't the point. You know, that's it's all about, we changed our perspective. And I'm glad you mentioned some of those things you saved. Like, I did too. Like, I was doing, you know, I was doing anywhere from 20 to 30 to 40 miles of driving every day. Well, guess what? There's no more driving. driving's out the window because now you're working from home, you're working for yourself. Lunches, you're doing lunches at home. I'm eating sandwiches at home as opposed to going out to, you know, McAllister's and having a $15 sandwich at McAllister's or whatever it is, you know?
Like, I was like, did you just read my cup? Because literally that's where I went today.
I know. Well, I said that because my wife just went to McAllister's the other day. That's why it was top of mind. So, but yeah, but those are the things that you don't realize, you know, so maybe you know, right out of the gate, you take a little hit. And I did. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we both did to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. You take a little hit, but you realize at the end of the day, you're factoring in some other elements from a money perspective and from an overall happiness perspective and an overall health perspective that may outweigh that a little bit. So, and we talk about health too. That's another thing as we're evaluating things. Mm-hmm. Thinking about, making that move. I remember being specifically concerned about whether or not I was going to get enough exercise if I worked from home and started to do that because I could see myself, you know, kind of locking down a little bit, you know, and there's a certain element of when you're in the business world and the corporate world where you're up, you're moving, you know, I worked at a several hundred thousand square foot casino. So I was all over that place. And so now, and then I make the move and I'm like, well, you know, so I remember worrying about that a little bit, but then it becomes, okay, how do you build that into your day? How do you kind of schedule that? And I know you're in the middle of that right now.
Conscious effort. Yeah. Conscious effort. That part is harder than it was probably when you're in corporate, but it's a lot better now because the other day, We had a stressful Monday. We got done with some meetings and I was like, I need to walk. And I live near some walking trails that go through the middle of the woods. And I took a couple mile hike with the dog in the middle of the day because I could. Mm-hmm. Yep. So like not just physical health, but mental health too. Like you've got that breathing room now. You just got to be conscious of it. You got to know when to get up and move and do things. So.
Yeah. And that, I mean, what we're talking about here is what the whole evaluate step is all about. It's essentially what we've just done is make a pros and cons list, right? Like here's the things that I'm getting fulfillment from in my current job that in my, you know, my 9-to-5, my office job, whatever I'm working, these are the things I'm getting out of it. I'm getting a good salary. I'm getting all the, you know, a nice handful of things, but these are the things that I don't get out of it. And then you vice versa that you start to look to, okay, well, this is what I could do if I work for myself. And this is what I could do if I, you know, maybe joined a entrepreneurial gang like we did here. You know, it's interesting to see and go back through what that evaluation process was like for each of us. And I know that there's people listening that are in the middle of that evaluation process right now. So hopefully this little bit of pro and cons list will help with that a little bit.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that too, because it's not just breaking out and doing your own thing. Like I left my corporate job to go work for a small business. It was still working for somebody else, but the freedom that was in that business was completely different. Because like, and it took me years to break this, but like that boss is like, I don't care when you work as long as you get your job done, you know? And I was like, okay, I'd come sit at my desk and I would, you know, like it took years for me to break that, but he really meant it. Like, I don't care when you get your work done. I don't care if you leave in the middle of the day. I don't care. Like I could go to my kids, you know, Halloween party in the middle of the day if I wanted to, and they just didn't care. Whereas in the corporate world, okay, let me go take time off and I don't know if I can, and let me go get that approved. And just because you don't have to go do your own thing if that's not what you want to do, but if you're absolutely miserable, there are other options. You don't have to just go and do your own thing and be your own boss. There are other avenues where you can still find happiness and freedom that is not the same as being your own boss.
Absolutely. 100%. I can't say it any better myself. So that's the evaluation process you go through, right? As you're considering making the jump and you're breaking away from that 9-to-5. First, you start with that recognition piece, then you move on to evaluate. But the next thing you got to do, and this may be the most difficult, and I can tell you from my experience, it was, this is the act portion. This is the A in the rear method. This is act. So talk to me. What was that adjustment like for you when you made the switch, when you switched over from the corporate life into a more entrepreneurial type mindset? What was that adjustment for you like?
Freeing.
Right?
It was still difficult because your mindset is still stuck on the corporate side of things, but it was so freeing to just for going from like the robo dialer, me calling all day long to being in the creative field. it was just amazing. But I felt like I had all the time in the world, whereas everything on the corporate was like set to a timer. Like everything was time. And now I'm like, oh, I can just think of ideas. And I've got, it was, I don't know a better word than just freeing. I just had all the time in the world to be able to be creative and do what I, and still get things done. But right. It didn't, the pressure, I was no longer in a pressure cooker. That's probably the best analogy. I was no longer in a pressure cooker. I could just, you know, just work and be happy.
No, that makes perfect sense. It, for me, exact opposite. I was terrified. Absolutely, absolutely terrified.
And that's a little different between me, you and I. So I was married when I made that switch. So even if I failed, there was a little bit of a backup, whereas you were kind of on your own. So I could see how that would be scary, like beyond scary.
Yeah. And, but it was terrifying from a lot of different levels. Yeah. Financially, it was mentally, like, so you talk about that high pressure and stuff like that. I had started to like feed off of that, you know, like that was what was kind of fueling me, from day to day. So when I took a step back and then I started to make my own schedule and I started to make my own work, like there's a job that needs to be done, but how it gets done, you figure it out. And to do that instead of having it structured for me was like something that I've, you know, we've had this conversation on other podcasts and side to side too. I still have trouble sometimes breaking away from that. That was something that was very, very hard for me because it, like I said, it was that structure that was there. It was very hard to break that. And there are days when I still don't break it very well, but when I focus on and think about the freeing element that comes along with it that you're talking about, that's where I go, oh, you know, it really is the amount of pressure, what it is. And that I'm so glad you said the word pressure, because it really clicked for me. That pressure that I used to feel from other places, I just transferred it all to myself. So now I catch myself like really pressuring myself when it's not coming from anywhere else. No one else on our team is doing it. We're in a meeting and I'm literally beating myself up. And you guys are like, no, man, it's okay. But that's where it all stems from. That's where it all comes from. So that making the action and making the, you know, real switch in your mind and your mindset was very, very difficult for me. And like I said, still is sometimes, but when you think about that, think about, cause I thought this would be an interesting thing for us to discuss, the major differences that you've noticed between the corporate lifestyle and a more work from home entrepreneurial lifestyle. Obviously there's some very basic ones, but for you personally, when you think about some of the major differences between that job, just on a day-to-day basis, what are some things that kind of stick out to you?
Everything that I've been saying, I don't know if there's anything to add to it besides just,
obviously freedom's huge for you.
Let me rephrase that. So there probably is something. So in the corporate environment, it was perform, 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 perform. Every day you are expected to perform to a certain level. Working from home, and I'm probably going to spill the beans and I can just hope that Ben doesn't hear this, but there are days that I can get like, it feels like 40 hours of work done in one day. Like I'm just like super productive. And there are days that I can set up my desk for 8 hours and I get maybe 1 hour of work done because it's just the focus is not there, or the motivation or the inspiration, or because we do a lot of creative stuff. And so sometimes it's just not there. And so that's the one thing that I would say that is drastically different from, but that it's okay. Like the old me would have probably stressed to no end that, oh my gosh, I wasn't producing every single day of the week, you know, whereas now I can have days like that where I'm just like, ugh, and it's okay because there are going to be other days that I'm overproducing to make up for those days. So I would say that's probably the biggest thing is that I have freedom to have bad days. I have freedom to have underperforming days, and it's not expected of me to overperform continuously or to perform at a certain level continuously. Yes, I've got goals and things that we all have to achieve, but that it's not an everyday pressure thing. And it's very much a team environment. Whereas before with corporate, and you'll probably say the same thing, is that you were your own person. You were defending for yourself. You're working for yourself. This is me. And you're very, I don't even know the word I'm looking for here. But whereas where we're at now, it's very much so team environment. It's we're all in this together. It's not you succeed and I fail, or I fail and you succeed. We all succeed or we all fail. It's all one sure. big group. And so that part is different as well. But give me your spin on it.
Well, no, I'm really glad you said the word focus in there, because I struggle with the same exact thing. And I think anybody that's listening to this right now that's thinking about making that change is probably thinking about that. Like, man, I don't know if they have, you know, I can remember questioning whether or not I had the discipline to be able to work from home. I didn't know. I wasn't sure. Because of all that stuff we've talked about already, because of the programming, because of the feeling to need to get up, take a shower, get dressed in very nice clothes and drive to work. Like there was a structure there. And then once that got wiped away, it was like, ooh, I was leaning on that. And I didn't realize it. Yeah. That was a crutch for me.
Well, you just got to change what your structure looks like.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's what I've been able to. So I realized somewhere along the way after that was wiped away, I was like, oh, I can build my own structure. And I can I can set this to where it kind of fits my lifestyle and fits what I need, and it fits my environment. The environment, something we haven't touched on a lot, but being at home is a distraction at times for me. I'll tell you that right now. If someone knocks on the door and there's a package at the door, I got to go get it type thing. So someone's got to come work on the water heater, whatever it is. But while it's a distraction, it's also so nice to have that opportunity, right? Like, so my wife is still in the 9-to-5 grind and doing that. And she can't take care of some of those things. And I'm lucky enough that I get to take care of that stuff. And we get to address issues when they happen and stuff like that. So it's been a really, really nice piece. But you were going to add on to that?
I was going to say, how about friends and family that think just because you work from home that you're available 24/7? I'm like, it drives me crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Some people will call me or come by the house. They'll stop by the house. And they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, working. They're like, oh, can you take a break? And I'm like, well, I'm in the middle of a project and I'm kind of focused right now. Like, if it was, it's not, that's a hard part for me is trying to tell people that, you know, just because I work from home doesn't mean that I don't work.
Yeah.
Like, there's still stuff that has to be done. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Well, so touching on that, what a great segue, because I wanted to ask about this too, as we're talking about acting, we're making the move to working from home and working for ourselves. How does that affect your personal life? How does that affect your relationships with your, you know, your spouse, your kids? Now you've got all of it wrapped into one. So what is that kind of move meant to those relationships for you?
So it's funny because I still have kind of, not necessarily a corporate mentality, but I still have like the corporate kind of schedule, because my husband has, you know, his own business that he runs. My kids go to school. So I still kind of stick to the same schedule I had before, because when they're gone, I need to be doing work. Because when they're home, I want to be with them. So that's schedule-wise for me. But that was my choice. Like, I didn't have to do that. That was my choice, which is nice. But like my husband, the business that he owns, they only work Monday through Thursday. For Fridays, he's off. So if I want to go have lunch with him on Fridays, or, you know, it's almost summertime now, we've got side by sides, he'll come home and be like, you want to go for a ride? I'm like, yep, let's go. You know, like that kind of stuff is really nice, to be able to just have that freedom to go and do whenever we want. That part is just incredible. Now that you're married, it's probably a little different.
Yeah, it's definitely different, especially, you know, we bought a house a few years ago and stuff. So I'm dealing with things like, you know, oh, there comes a guy to work on the water heater and stuff like that. And because I'm here, I got to be the one to schedule that and coordinate that and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's some difficulties with that when you make that move. But like I said, it gets outweighed by the fact that you get to do it. And, you know, those are things that wouldn't be able to get done otherwise. I don't know how people who have a, you know, household where both people work 9-to-5 jobs, When do they get things done? I always wonder that.
I don't know. I say that all the time. I have no idea because I literally in our group chat, I'm like, how do people with what I call real jobs do this? Like, especially when like kids get sick or they've got a, oh gosh, well, the kids were doing all these sports and we were running all over the place. Like, how do people that have regular 9-to-5 jobs go and watch all their kids' sports stuff? Or that do they just don't do that? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did I do this before? Because I feel like I'm lost now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those are the things you think about as you're making that action, you're putting it into place. These are the things that you kind of consider that obviously there's going to be a big adjustment. Anyone that's considering making that move, I'll tell you right now, that's something you need to know right now. Your life is going to change and you get to determine from that standpoint, which direction it goes and the control of your existence, the control of your professional, you know, track, the control of your personal life, the balance and the freedom that come along with being able to break free of that 9-to-5, I just can't speak highly enough about. So when you do take that action, these are things that are on the other side. And when we talk about getting to the other side, that's what the last element of our rear method is. And it's the word relish. I love the word relish. We're not talking about the condiment for hot dogs. I know we're getting close to summer. But to relish, the verb relish. So think about this right now, in your vantage point. So now versus your corporate career, how do you rate yourself as far as things like productivity, time management, schedule management, communication? Like how are all those things going for you now that you're on this side of it, and you've now been kind of established in this spot for a little?
I would say productivity, as I said before, it comes and goes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like I get as much done as I did back then. It's just, it comes in spurts. So that kind of comes and goes. Everything else just is better. It's different, but it's just better, if that makes any sense at all. Now there's going to be days that it's struggle bus, like especially for me in the summer times, I'm working from home, especially last summer, well, on all through COVID, when my kids were home, I'm still having to get work done. So I felt like a lot of times I was parking my child in front of a TV to entertain her while I got work done, which was really kind of annoying, but I was able to save a lot of money because I didn't have to send her, you know, somewhere, pay daycare bill or whatever, because she could be at home with me. We could still have lunch together. We could still do all these other things. So that part was kind of nice. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. It's, and you touched on it perfectly as far as productivity goes. It's funny. I feel like there are days I accomplish a week's worth in just a few hours too. But then the next day comes and I'm like, man, I am zonked from yesterday. This is going to be a less productive day. But if I can balance that through a week, then I've had a, you know, and then I gauge at the end of the week, it's all good. So time management and schedule management have been challenges. Those are as I've transitioned to those, figuring out, you know, we talk about this, like I'm very heavy into, I make sure that I get a workout a day in. And so where I fit that into my schedule sometimes works better on certain days than it does on other days. And it pushes things back either in my personal life. You know, I've had, you know, quibbles with my wife, like, oh, sorry, I missed lunch today, but I had to get this workout in. And she's like, oh, come on. Like, but this, I needed this, you know,
yeah.
But it's, those are the sorts of things that you have to kind of, you learn to balance as you transition to the work from home, the entrepreneurial lifestyle. And it's tough because back in the corporate days, like that was all built in. So I had to figure it out. You know, I had to either work out before 9 or after 5. And I had, you know, any kind of social setting that was going on outside of that. And social setting is another one I wanted to touch on too. Cause, you know, obviously we're painting a good picture, but it's not always easy. To make the transition. And I want to make sure to stress that to anyone that's listening. We understand how freaking hard it is to break free of that 9-to-5. And I'll tell you right now, the biggest piece that I miss from that 9-to-5 life was the camaraderie, the communication with people, was being in an office with people. I used to sit around a table and we used to throw ideas and stuff at each other. And some of those days drove me absolutely nuts. And I went home completely exhausted and drained, but I fed off of those days too. And now I'm working at home. I'm by myself.
By yourself.
I'm hanging out with my I'm hanging out with my cat. Like, you know, it's like my
no,
cat
but
my
have
cat
you started
can only hear
talking
so many
to
my
the
ideas.
Cat? I was like, have you started talking to the cat?
My cat hears all my ideas and loves them all or hates them all. Usually hates them all. But it's funny. Like those are things that I miss. I find myself missing that a lot. And luckily we have outlets, you know, like honestly, this podcast is an outlet, like getting to hang out with you in this room. Like it feels like we're hanging out together and
exactly.
And
well,
those things help.
We do a very, conscious effort to actually get together like in person, not just through the, you know, video chatting stuff, but we have events where we will get together and just let loose for a while. So I would say that although it's not every day and it would be nice if it was every day, but we still make an effort to get together frequently. So
totally. Well, what about that escape from the 9 to 5? What's it done for your, what would you say it's done for your like physical health and your mental health? What has that done for you when you think about that?
It's changed. I wouldn't say it's easier. I wouldn't say it's better. I would say it's just changed. So like you said earlier, like the pressure that you used to have from your bosses and the people above you, now it's all internal pressure, which is harder to manage, honestly. That part's harder. When it comes to your physical health, you have to actively get your butt out of this chair and go do something. Whereas before you were walking the floor and, you know, I'm kind of the same way. I was always out and about in public and things like that. And whereas now my butt's here in this chair, I actively go and work out every day. So it's just, it's not that it's better. It's not that it's worse. It's altered. It's changed. So question for you. Have you taken a nap in the middle of the day yet?
You know, I'm not a napper. It's weird.
Oh, that's the greatest part.
It's very weird for me because I used to be a napper. College, I was a napping fool, but somewhere along the way, I got broken of it, and now I can't nap anymore. I kind of wish I could a lot of days, but I can't do it.
You're
giving away that you've actually taken a nap in the middle of the day. That's what you just
yes. Did. Yes. I would say that's one of the greatest things is that, well, when I, because I'm straight up insomniac. Like I have the worst time sleeping, like not last night, but the night before I fell asleep at 5 a.m. and got up at 7 a.m. Like I had 2 hours of sleep entire night. And yikes. I will go 4 nights in a row like that. And then I'm just like, I can't function. And so there has been times that I'll message the crew and be like, hey y'all, I'm out for the next 2 hours. Like, just don't message me. I will be gone. And I'll lay down and take a nap just to be able to function. So the fact that I have that ability is incredible. So,
Well, I'll tell you just for me, the switch now that I've slowly become more accustomed to it, I think it's done a lot of good things for my physical health, just because I'm able to do more. The freedom of being able to work from home and choose your own schedule allows you to incorporate things if you want to do it and you decide that it's a priority. So I've been able to do that. I'm probably in as good a shape physically as far as like, you know, my heart condition and my overall stamina and my, you know, all those things. Like I feel really good. And it's because I'm making a very conscious effort. I'll tell you though, we're coming out of it, but through COVID, the mental part was very difficult. And I know that everyone felt that, to a certain extent, but through COVID we're probably remiss on not talking about this, but there was part of my transition from the corporate world to work from home included working with Serial Progress Seeker as like a side hustle. And I was working specifically with Tabitha, I was helping out with some social media things. And I can remember during that time. So I had just moved to St. Louis. COVID just started. I was trying to find one of those quote unquote corporate gigs because I was trained to do that. And it was very, very difficult because COVID hit and every single organization out there, the first place they're going to cut when there's cuts to be made is the marketing budget. So they started doing that and the jobs just dried up. So I did what I could to survive. And that's when I kind of came across Serial Progress Seeker and stuff. And it led to being able to become part of the team. But it's crazy. During that time, there was a mental struggle, very, very difficult because, you know, everyone was dealing with, we don't know what's going on in the world. And then I had the added element of, oh, on top of that, I don't know how I'm going to, you know, help provide for my family because I don't have an opportunity to do that. So very, very difficult mental aspect for a while. Now, being on this side of it, we've touched on it 1 million times and I will keep doing it. But freedom has given me such a whole new outlook mentally. The value that I place in my day-to-day freedom is so high now that it just kind of has overtaken almost all of that mental anguish that I did go through there for a while. So thought that was really important to touch on. There's one question I wanted to ask you, right? It's a simple question, quote unquote simple. As we're thinking about relishing, making this move, it's the final step of escaping 9 to 5 and setting your own path. Are you happier on this side of it?
A billion times. Like if you told me that like I had to go get another corporate job, I honestly don't know that I could do it.
I
really don't know that I could go back to that, you know, every day clock in, clock out kind of thing. I just couldn't do it. So yeah, 1,000,000,000,000 times happier. You?
Yeah. It's funny. It's been a process to get there because of all the doubt and all the not unsuredness along the way and figuring out how to kind of make my way in this quote in kind of new world. But being here today as we speak, holy cow, the level of stress is doesn't even compare. It's like it makes me think about the things that I do stress about. It's because we talked about earlier, I put that pressure on myself. But it's like, it's because I need to feel that a little bit because it's not coming from anywhere else. It's just because it's not there.
It's your motivator. You need it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just my own personal motivator, but it's not any external factors that are building towards that. And that element of freedom has been so, so huge. And that's the whole reason we wanted to have this podcast today is to tell people literally from our perspective, how you can break away from that grind, from feeling stuck. I think the word stuck is so important because I think we both have been there. We both felt like, man, there's this spot and I could keep doing this. I can remember like I could keep grinding this way and do this for 20 more years and, you know, maybe climb the ladder and maybe make some more money and maybe do some more cool things or whatever. But I don't know if my heart's going to take it. I don't know if my brain's going to take it. You know, I don't know if my personal life's going to survive type thing. And so to get out of that, we had to develop this method, this rear method that we're talking about to be able to build our own path to freedom. So we recognized that we needed to make the change. We evaluated what's before us so we could figure out what it's going to take to make that change. Then we moved on to act so we could literally put the plans into motion and develop what we wanted for our lives. And here we are on the other side. We get to relish what we've done. And it's really, really cool to kind of think back on some of those emotions, some of those things I haven't realized I even felt in a long time. It's pretty interesting to think back on that. And I hope that people who are listening are able to pick up some tips and feel Tabitha's and my sense of empathy that we have for everybody who feels like they're stuck because we've been there. It's a very difficult place to be at times. And maybe you're not even the difficult part of it. Maybe you are in a pretty good gig and things are going pretty well, but you still have like this burning desire to do something else or be your own boss or spend more time with your family or make more money or go on trips or, you know, whatever it is. You know, we understand that it's a hell of a mountain to climb, but we are literally proof positive that you can do it. And that we totally feel that way. And that's our whole reason at Serial Progress Seeker. That's the whole reason we exist, is to we want to bring as many people to the top of that mountain that we've already climbed as possible. So because when we all win, right? We fully believe that, and we fully subscribe to that. And you know, not to be cheesy, but speaking of subscribe, I do want to make sure we touch on, if you've enjoyed this episode and you're able to pull some insight from it, please do us a favor. Go subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. We want to keep pumping out content like this, hopefully that you find helpful, that can bring you some guidance in your path along the way. And as always, hit us up at serialprogressseeker.com. If you've ever got any questions, we're here to help. We want to help you on your journey to freedom. We want to help you climb that. We want to help you break that chain. And that's 100% why we're here. So thank you guys for listening so much.
Thanks so much for checking out this episode of the Serial Progress Seeker Podcast. If you want to listen to more episodes, learn more about our mission, or send us questions or feedback about the show, go to serialprogressseeker.com. You can help the mission by subscribing, reviewing, rating, and commenting wherever you listen to or watch podcasts. And be sure to connect with us on social media for all the latest through Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. We'll catch you next time, Serial Progress Seekers.